Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Gies, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
Greetings, everybody. Happy Wednesday, and welcome to the Voice of Indie podcast, episode number 58. I am your host, Beam Weeks, and with me is my co-host, Stephen Gies. How are you doing tonight, Stephen?
I am just thrilled and excited to be here. And looking forward to hearing some of our new bumpers tonight, because we've had Bailey Varness join our podcast team here, and she's been doing some things to help us get going. So that should be cool, too. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. And I do have an update for our regular crew of listeners, Verwayne Greenhoe. And he might be out there in the audience tonight. He said he was going to try to be. His wife, Lisa, as I mentioned in previous weeks, she's had some health issues, and she's been in Rochester, Minnesota for a while now, and according to Verwayne, she should be on her way home pretty soon. It's still a rough road, but it appears to be that road towards recovery, so we're keeping her in our thoughts and prayers, and keeping Verwayne in our thoughts and prayers as well. Like I said, he may be out there tonight, and we may get some Twitter messages from him, so or even a phone call. Who knows?
That would be cool, but give our best and hang in there, Verwayne. We've also got some news. A lot of buzz going on this week out there in the indie author and self-publishing community, especially. The biggest player in this continent is Ingram. Ingram, which also owns things like Spark and Lightning Source and printing companies, and of course they're the biggest distributor in the U.S., they have announced that their wholesale printing costs are going up 6%. And I believe it's at the end of this month is when that happens. And that's going to affect most of the titles printed by Fresh Ink Group in the U.S. and Canada and Australia and one or two other places. The rest of our stuff's under contract, so it probably will not go up. But it's also going to affect all you authors out there who use Ingram Spark. And Ingram Spark, across the board, a 6% increase in your cost. You know, if it's costing $8, $10 to print your book, 6% is pretty significant, 75, 80 cents or whatever. Or you get a big book like Hello Chattanooga, it costs almost $20 to print the hardcover of that book. So that's a $1.60, $1.70 increase in the printing cost. So a lot of people are going to have to be taking a hard look at their cover pricing and decide what plans they're going to have to make to move forward. We got one other announcement, too. I've mentioned on this show before that way, way back in the day when I started working on my master's degree, I started doing volunteer programs, set up tutoring programs and low-income communities, things like that, and started prison writing programs, too. And the first class that I volunteered to go into a prison and teach had a student in it named Gilbert Poole. And Gilbert Poole was serving life without parole, natural life they call it, for murder. And he was convicted on bite mark testimony. Supposedly a bite mark on a victim was matched to him. And over the years, I saw that bite mark testimony was thoroughly debunked. And the bite mark expert who testified against people like Mr. Poole was thoroughly debunked as well. And a lot of those people managed to get their cases overturned and get out of prison. But Gil Poole was not having that kind of luck until he finally hooked up with the people at the Innocence Project at Western Michigan University. They got things back into court, proved his innocence, got him exonerated, and got him released from prison after 32 years.
Woohoo!
32 years. Now, on this show, you've heard us talk about Phil Lippert, who did approximately that much time in prisons as well, and then went on to write the book.
I thought Phil did over 40.
Yeah, let's say more than three decades.
Because he was close to 40, way up there.
Spending most of your life behind bars. But anyway, Gil while he was my student, wrote his first book, and it was excellent, and I was impressed with him. So now he's out and pursuing his writing again, and I've got a meeting with him when I'm in Michigan next Monday to talk about how he's going to go forward with some of his book projects. So obviously, I'm interested in hearing the story about how this all happened and what it took for him to finally get exonerated and get out. So we're looking forward to that. And Casey's out there listening tonight. Gil, welcome back to the world. We're looking forward to working with you. Excellent author.
Indeed. Indeed. Okay, for all you listeners out there, if you want to join in the conversation tonight, here's how you can do that.
Call 516-453-9902 right now and join us on air or tweet us with the hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the body and we'll read your comment or question live. That's 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Ink Group.
Yeah.
Woohoo, right. Bailey.
Yeah, so Fresh Ink Group author Robert G. Willis Croft has finished the second Orc Chronicle book and he is currently working on the fourth Mac McDowell Mission book. So all you Willis Croft fans out there, just be prepared for a couple of new ones coming out. This guy does a lot of writing. I admire that.
You know, yes, our staff cover artist can't keep up with him. We also have Legacy of Danger is going to be out very soon. Those of you who received the newsletter, and those of you who don't, go to freshinkgroup.com and sign up on the homepage. But if you get the newsletter, you saw a cover in today's newsletter for Legacy of Danger by Patricia A. Guthrie. We're going to have that out in a couple of weeks. She's got a book of short stories called Eerie Charms, which is going to be out probably a month or 6 weeks after that. And then we're republishing her Water Lilies Over My Grave and talking to her about a couple of other books, too. So watch for that. And listen, we'll have Patricia on the show probably in about 6 or 7 weeks as well.
Yeah, and speaking of the newsletter.
Stay on top of these podcasts and all things Fresh Ink Group with our weekly digital newsletter. New releases, videos, stories, excerpts, interviews, and more. Sign up now on the homepage of freshinkgroup.com and be the one who knows what's what.
Yeah. So another Fresh Ink Group author, Jay Ajluni, he's got a kind of a really interesting book. It's called Whoopi Likes Her Bacon Crispy, and that's coming out soon. And that's a short little, I believe, little anecdotal things from many celebrities. And this book's got dozens of really cool caricature type drawings in the book. So keep an eye out for that. Now, I believe this is going to be covered in next week's newsletter, Stephen.
The cover reveal will be in next week's newsletter. You'll be able to see what it looks like. And on the cover, you can see probably, I don't know, 15, 18 of the caricatures that are inside the book as well. So the cover gives you a chance to get a flavor for how it's going to look. It's a fun book. It's exciting. They're really not that short. It's 65 women, and we're counting the Wilson sisters as one. You know, Ann and what's her name?
Ann and Nancy from the rock
right.
band
Ann and
Heart.
Nancy Wilson. Yeah, we're calling them one person. If you call them one person, it's 65 women. And each of these are selections out of primarily their memoirs or writings of theirs where they talked about their opinions and their attitudes toward life or whatever. And these excerpts are about 1 to 3 pages each. So they're not just spiffy little quotes. They're, you know, nice chunks of where you get to spend a little bit of time with each of the women and learn a little bit about who they are. And it's an exciting, interesting group of people.
Cool.
We also have another book coming out soon called There Must Be Something in the Water. And this is about people who grew up in Green Pond, South Carolina. And there were a whole lot of African-American folks who, in the years since the emancipation, have accomplished some really great things coming out of that small area. So this is a book where we look at 40, I believe it's 41, people who came out of Green Pond and went on and accomplished some great things. So we've got nice photos and essays and little historical facts and things like that that are all going together in this one. And we're hoping to have that one launched into pre-sale in a couple of weeks as well.
All right, cool. Yeah, listeners, remember if you missed an episode of this show, we have the archive in many different places, and here's where you can find any episode you need to if you missed one, go find it.
If you miss a show, find us in the archive in the Fresh Ink Group channel on YouTube, on Spotify, or under the podcast tab at freshinkgroup.com, beamweeks.com, and stephengees.com. On YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe.
Boy, that saves us the time to have to keep saying all that. Okay, so we have several shows that are currently nearing the 1,000 listen mark. So this is a cool thing. We've got several that are right there at the edge of it, and there's even a couple that are past the 1,000. So this is all on you, listeners. We appreciate you. We are thankful each time you tune in, and when you miss it, you go to the archive, and that's where a lot of these episodes are being heard. That's in the archive. And these archives are eternal. They're there forever. So
yeah,
if you've been on the show 10 years ago, 10 years in the future, it'll still be out there.
I can see the archaeologist someday dusting something off and saying, it says Trover. I don't know what a Trover is. But speaking of a Trover, our guest today is Tammy Trover, the author of The ABCs of Surviving Cancer, Alive, Beautiful, and Courageous, with Cornelius, the Cancer-Fighting Crocodile. Now, here's the blurb before we meet Tammy. Now a mother and grandmother, Tammy Trover is a veteran who works for the Veterans Administration helping vets coordinate their medical benefits. She holds a BS in criminal justice and is now working on her master's degree. A native of Maine living in Denver, Colorado, except that now she's moved to Washington, she is a colon cancer survivor. The ABCs of Surviving Cancer, Alive, Beautiful, and Courageous is her first book, and she hopes to produce more on topics such as eating disorders and other challenges many face. Tammy is proud to donate a portion of the proceeds from this book to the American Cancer Society. Welcome to the show, Tammy.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me this afternoon.
Yeah, did I get it right? It's Washington where you've moved recently?
I have. I've moved to Silverdale, Washington on the Olympic Peninsula.
Okay, so what brought you out there?
I have my youngest daughter and my youngest grandchild is out here.
Okay, cool.
One of
now,
five grandchildren.
Five grandchildren. Wow.
Well, four and one on the way. I guess I count the fifth one already here.
I just looked on the map. You could shout and Stephanie Collins and her daughter Ellie Collins, Fresh Ink Group author, could hear you.
Wow,
they're right across
they're
the water
way.
From you. Yeah, they're right across the water.
Oh.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Just open the window
pretty
and give a shout.
Pretty close to me, huh?
See, we got to figure out where to hold the big Fresh Ink Group convention one of these days. And, you know, some people are pulling for Denver. Some people are pulling for Washington. But I'll tell you, we got more authors like in the Houston area than probably any other part of the U.S.
Yeah. Tammy, as a child, you've written this book. As a child, what kind of child were you? Were you a reader and a writer? Or is this something you came to later?
Gangbanger, arsonist.
I wouldn't say I was a gangbanger, no.
school skipper, back talker.
I grew up with, I think my parents had over 40 foster children that we had throughout our growing up years, most of them autistic. So I didn't grow up with the love of reading. I grew up with the love of writing. But I wasn't so much a reader until Harry Potter came out. but I always loved to write and write poems and things like that. Really loved that. So when I got cancer, it became an outlet for me to express, you know, how I was feeling. There was nothing out there for my children than what I was going through. So that was my purpose, is to give other families a way to help their children understand, or if their children had the cancer, help them, you know, be able to fight through it. Writing this book meant everything.
Good. So you say you got a bachelor's degree. Where did you go to school?
I actually now have a master's degree in criminal justice. I went to school at Colorado State University in Denver. Well, it's the online version is, you know, you can do anywhere, but it's out of Colorado, based in Colorado. And I got my master's degree last year. When I wrote this book, I had just my bachelor's degree, but I didn't stop. It was my goal to keep going. So I now have a master's degree.
So why? Why criminal justice, and why did you want to get a postgraduate degree?
You know, criminal justice has always been a passion of mine. I had to find something in going through cancer and going through all the surgeries since I had cancer that I actually enjoyed reading about. Criminal justice was one of those things. I also like that field. Working for the government, I can use that type of degree. My major is in fraud to enhance what I do for work. So it made it easier that it was something that I was interested in. I think a lot of times when people go to school, they don't always find something that they're passionate about. And criminal justice was something I was very passionate about and enjoyed reading about. So it was more getting a degree in something that I could not only use, but enjoy. So.
Well, congratulations. That's quite an accomplishment, especially when you're working full time. And I know you've been dealing with some things in your personal life as well that can really take a lot of your attention and energy away. But I'm always proud when people I know get those degrees done, even if it takes them some years to do it. So, yeah, we're definitely very proud of you. In fact, we're so proud, we're going to interrupt you now and play a commercial, aren't we, Beam?
We sure are.
You want to hit Legacy first?
Sure.
Elena Ducani inherits her family's castle in Romania, a land dipped in myths, folklore, and the legendary Walking Dead. The local proverb serves as a warning. Do not speak badly of the devil, because you cannot know to whom you will belong. When she's attacked by an international assassin, only her deceased husband and her ex-boyfriend's live presence can protect her on her journey to the mountainous region of Transylvania. But that's not the only problem troubling Elena. Who is that boy invading her dreams? And what really happened to a priceless gem-crusted silver cross buried by an earthquake in the 15th century? Who's stalking Elena? Who wants her dead and why? Legacy of Danger by Patricia A. Guthrie is a paranormal romantic thriller with a deep mystery and plenty of suspense. It'll haunt you in jacketed hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats worldwide. Legacy of Danger by Patricia A. Guthrie is proudly published by Fresh Ink Group.
Yeah, and as Stephen said earlier, this book is going to be out soon, and if you subscribe to our newsletter, go over there, the one that came to you this morning, and check out the cover. I've already read this book, so I can tell you it's an excellent book. So when it comes out, go and grab a copy. We do have some comments on Twitter already, so I'll throw these out here. Robert Willistroft says, nice new voice, talking about our new bumper lady, so cool deal.
Bill Bailey.
All right. And Verwayne Greenhouse says, thank you, Stephen and Beam, for keeping everyone up to date. My wife is scheduled to be back to the hospital in Marquette. That's Marquette, Michigan. In the morning, we've had some horrific ups and downs, but she is improving now. Thanks for your thoughts and prayers. And definitely, we are appreciative of you, Verwayne, because you're one of the biggest supporters of the show, and we appreciate that. Dr. Helen Burrell says, the ABCs of Surviving Cancer, Live, Beautiful, and Courageous by Tammy Trover is a gentle treatment of a usually difficult-to-write-about subject. An endearing journey through the tribulations and victories along the way of both child and adult patients. And thank you, Dr. Helen, as always. And Verwayne also throws out here, since I get and read your weekly newsletter, hear that, people? There's some news in that newsletter that you might not know about if you don't get it. I see that my friend Vashti Q, Kiro Vega, it's her Twitter handle is Vashti QV, is taking a break. I like her work, so maybe she is whipping up something new for us. And that's from Verwaine again as well. So thank you to you guys, that all of you who have made comments so far, and anybody else that wants to give us a phone call, 516-453-9902, or hashtag Freshing Group in your tweet, and we'll see it and read it on the air.
Yeah, and in the newsletter, notice, too, that there's a caricature of Vashti Quiroz Vega, by a fan whose last name is Hugo, and we included that in the newsletter to show you what a beautiful piece of work that was. So let's give a shout out to the fan artist who did that for Vashti. Very nice.
Hey,
definitely. So, Tammy, let's talk a little bit about your family. And I know that, you know, your children's father is kind of an awkward and unusual situation there. Is that something you want to talk about?
No, I just, you know, I just say that it was very, very sad losing him about, I think it was four years ago now. He got hit by lightning, and it was, you know, it's not something you hear about happening. That's probably, you know, all about that subject I'd like to talk about. It's very sad, very, very sad, you know, subject for us. But
yeah,
he's loved and missed, and But
okay, well,
my family, I have. Go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead,
I was just going to say. Well, you've got some children and some grandchildren. Tell us about what your kids are doing.
Yes, I have two adult children, two daughters, Brianna and Jenica, and they are a beautiful, beautiful young ladies. And my daughter Brianna has three children, and I have. So two girls and a boy, Zoe, Sadie, and Landon. And then my youngest daughter has Chad, and she has a baby on the way, another boy. So we have plenty of grandchildren, and I love it. Grandchildren are the best. If you don't have any, they're definitely come out with some things that should be written in a book. They're amazing. So, yeah, we're enjoying life. I got to take my youngest grandson to a gaming farm this last weekend with a friend that I hadn't seen in 30 years from high school. She came out to visit, and it was an amazing trip. I think it's the first actual real vacation I've taken, you know, side of with my family in probably 15 years. And her and I just kind of we drove the 101 coast and went hiking, and it was an amazing weekend. But we got to spend time with my grandson, and that time was unbelievable. I can tell you I've never seen a bison stick his tongue in your ear. That was an experience.
Some people pay good money for that. So
yeah,
when you said gaming farm, you're talking about a place that has wild animals.
Yeah, it has like bear and llama and elk, and they just have all kinds of animals, and most of them are walking around free, and you drive through and you feed them the bread you buy at the beginning. It was very interesting, they're very beautiful animals, but they come right up to the window, and when the bison came up to the window, he was very eager to get the bread out of our hands, and they have very long tongues. It's kind of gross. but it's a very interesting experience, to say the least. I don't think my grandson knew what to do. He was looking at us like, oh, that's a big animal. He just wanted to touch them all. You know,
How old is he?
He's one.
One? Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Everything's a curiosity to him.
Yeah.
Yes, and we had him sitting on our lap. We drove, we take turns holding him and feeding the animals that put their head in the window. And they even have zebra at that farm. So it was very, very beautiful pictures we got. So very interesting. Yeah.
Great.
But my grandchildren are definitely the light of my life. And it's amazing because when I wrote The ABCs of Surviving Cancer, it was one of the things on my bucket list. And I can say without Fresh Ink Group, that dream would never have come true. That was a very difficult time in my life. I had just had surgery, and I had aspirated under general anesthesia. I had a baseball-sized tumor. It was not cancerous. It was, I have a half colon. So it was one of those follow-up surgeries from having cancer and having a half colon. And it was a very, very close call. I don't think I've ever been that close to death before.
Wow.
And so when I brought this this writing that I started to Fresh Ink Group, it was very surprising because I remember you saying to me, I have one question. And I was like, uh-oh. I wasn't quite sure if it was good or it was bad. And you said, how long did it take you to write this? And I thought, if I tell him, you know, I always tell the truth, but God, he's going to think, you know. And I had only written A, B, and C at that point. And I said, 2.5 hours. And you said, you're meant to be a writer. But you challenged me because you didn't want A through C. You wanted A through Z.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, that helped me, you know, heal. Writing the book helped me heal. So I really appreciate Fresh Ink Group. It made a difference in my life beyond what you all can know.
And I appreciate that you don't get rattled when I occasionally call you semicolon.
No, I am definitely a semicolon. No.
Great. So, you want to roll another commercial, Beam?
Yeah.
Before Chattanooga, maybe?
Which one?
Chattanooga.
Okay, yeah. But before I do, I want to just say over here on Twitter, I believe it's a friend of yours, Tammy, Cecilia Brown.
Yeah.
Hey, Tammy. So she's saying hey to you. So apparently she's in the audience tonight, so that's cool. All right.
Very
hello,
nice.
Chattanooga.
I know this. Nice.
Hello, Chattanooga. Famous people who have visited the Tennessee Valley. Features photos, stories, and complete listings of the entertainers, athletes, political leaders, and others who visited the area since 1900. Chattanooga has attracted some of the best-known celebrities in the world, thanks to our city's historic venues, beautiful scenery, and powerful people. Hello Chattanooga features hundreds of restored photos, behind-the-scenes stories, and thousands of fully indexed entries spanning more than 700 pages. I'm David Carroll. I've worked in Chattanooga television and radio for more than 40 years. I also write a weekly newspaper column and have written two other books, Chattanooga Radio and Television, A Photo History of Chattanooga Media, and Volunteer Bama Dog, A TV Guy's Love Letter to the South, a collection of my most popular stories. Hello Chattanooga is proudly published by Fresh Ink Group in a keepsake, jacketed, hardcover edition with full-color interior printing, softcover with black and white photos, and all-color ebook formats worldwide. Take a trip back in time, enjoy great memories, and maybe even settle an argument as you learn the dates and places that your favorite star, athlete, or president visited the Chattanooga area.
That's a cool little time, not little, it's a pretty big book, but it's a little like a time capsule. So anybody that's a history fan, entertainment fan, that's your book. Go get it. Now, Tammy, when you're not writing and
yes.
you're not busy pursuing another degree, what do you
or
like
harassing
to do?
The bison.
Or harassing the bison. What do you like to do with your spare time, with your free time? How do you like to spend it? Do you have any hobbies, interests, stargazing?
Writing is definitely one of my hobbies. I do love to hike, but until this last weekend, moving out here to COVID, during COVID was very difficult because it's very hard to meet people. So, I didn't know too many people when I came out here, and hiking by yourself is not something, I want to do. you know, not knowing the terrain and things like that. So until this weekend, I hadn't really been able to get out and do things like normal. So I think it's getting better here with, you know, things getting a little more lively, people being able to get out and about and do the normal things they do. It still will be a long time before we get back to normal, but I work a lot. I have a very big passion for my work with the VA, and I love it. It's a very, very good organization that does great things for vets and their families, and I believe in what I do, and I work a lot. So, yeah, not too many hobbies and things besides writing and hiking, but we're getting there. I'm getting to know people a little more out here.
Cool.
Now,
Go ahead. No, I was going to say we got a couple of quick comments on Twitter. Robert Williscroft says, semicolon, oh my, that's funny. My friend and fellow author also has an affinity for semicolons. And Verwayne says, cancer survivors tend to be tough cookies because cancer is a brutal disease to beat. I wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Very much.
Now you say, you know, writing is your hobby. So how long have you been writing?
Well, you know, you start when you're very young, writing different things. And I think it's always been, I love things that, I love children's books. I'll admit it. I read young adult books all the time. I just love, you know, those kinds of things. But I also read, you know, adventure and mystery, murder mystery as an adult also. But writing, I would say I started very young, just writing poems, writing, you know. And you know how you go through life and you're always thinking, boy, this would be a good book. Well, with having so many foster children in our lives, you know, there are things that you say that all the time. Boy, this should be in a book because it's just, I mean, some of the things that happen are just too funny. Especially autistic children, people tend to underestimate their abilities. And when they surprise you, they really surprise you. You know, our favorite, you know, one of my favorite times was seeing my foster brother coming out and seeing him on a bull. He was autistic, and when he came to us, they said he'd never, you know, he'd never sit at a normal table. He'd never do things that are normal. And he could do about everything by the time he was ready to leave us. He was amazing. But seeing him do some of the things like, you know, help us, you know, we had ducks and a horse and a bull, and coming out and seeing him sitting on the back of a bull, I think we all about had a heart attack. So,
well, have you thought about putting some of those stories into a book, you know, collecting, just write them down and collect them, and you know, before you know it, you've got a book, essays or something like that?
I have thought about that. I've thought about putting, you know, some of the experiences that we've been through into a book, and it's, you know, I think we tend to let life get in the way of our passions, and you know, I've learned just in the past year or two that you need to take time, slow
yes.
down a little bit. I work probably too much. I've slowed down just in the past week. Allowing myself to take, you know, a week off is something I don't usually do. So I think in the future you might be seeing some more of my writing. I've been asked to write several other books on different subjects in the same kind of format for children to help children understand different things and different diseases. I have not done that yet. That is something I would like to pursue doing in the near future. Autism is one of those other things. You know, there are other things that I've been through and know a lot about that I would love to put in writing, things that would make you laugh and cry. But, you know, you have to slow down and really enjoy life a little bit. I enjoy people seeing my book and really benefiting from it. As all of the authors in the audience probably know, you know, we do it to touch people's heart. You know, how this book was, you know, to help people, to help them through cancer and help their families through cancer. You know, so it's, I know it's touched many people. I've talked to many people who have it in their hands and, you know, they've read it and I don't know, through them it touches me. So
yeah, and that's the thing too. I mean, because so something like that is so personal because you're part of a unique group. You went through this battle and you beat it. And there are other people out there, the ABCs of surviving cancer. There's other people who may have lost somebody, a loved one to cancer. You're still going to have a connection with them. And that's why I brought up the collecting of the stories, you know, with the autism, because there's a lot of people out there who would connect to those kind of stories and would have their own stories as well to share. So, you know, that's just something to think about for your next project, perhaps.
Yes. Yes, that would be great. That would definitely be great.
So it's probably,
you know,
a good...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that this book, it not only helps people understand if they're going through the cancer, but, you know, a lot of people, when they've lost a loved one, they need to remember, in talking to them, they say, I need to remember that no matter how much they fought, we don't always win that fight. And this book helps remind them that that person, even though they fought and fought and fought, they may win or they may not. And whether they win or lose, they fought as hard as they could. You know, cancer is something that doesn't always allow us to win. So the book gives the person that's going through it inspiration to fight, but it also gives the people that are going through it with them.
Yeah.
A lot of times we forget. You know,
I think, yeah,
we forget.
Those are the kind of situations where everybody involved, I mean, there's lessons to be learned. There's everybody has their own journey, even though it's a shared journey. And there's that one person going through it. But it's, you know, the actual disease. There's everybody that's connected to that one person is going through it. And you know, I've lost people in my family, loved ones to cancer, and I know how I've been profoundly changed losing, like my little brother, you know, with leukemia. And that completely changed me from who I was prior to him getting sick. I don't want to say lessons, but they're the things that mold and shape us. I guess that's the way to put it.
Yeah, to make us stronger.
Yeah,
I especially like the fact that this, so many of these books that I looked at are targeted to the people going through the experience. Like, so you're dealing with cancer, or you're a kid who's dealing with this, or your child is dealing with this. But you wrote your book in such a way so that it's just as good and relevant and beneficial to, like, that kid sitting in class who's just wondering about that other kid in the class who's losing his hair, or you've heard that he's going through treatments, but you don't understand it. So it's not even aimed necessarily directly just at the people going through it, but people who just need to understand what others are going through as well. And when you add that to the potential audience, that's pretty much everybody.
Yeah. Yes. And that's a good point. You know, oftentimes we fear what we don't understand. And I wanted to make sure, you know, when people look at you, they're afraid because they don't know. You look like you're in treatment for cancer. You look sick.
Yeah.
And that is a fearful thing to look at. And sometimes you can even smell it, you know, the treatment. So people fear that and they treat you a little bit different. But if they can understand it a little better, you know, sometimes we can make it better by just being a little bit understanding of what someone's going through.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good time to roll the commercial, Beam.
Yeah.
Cornelius is our cancer fighter. He's here to make our days much brighter. It's his job to help you know you're never alone wherever you go. Cornelius will guide and show you too. So let's fight the fire of cancer in you. A is for alive, that's what I am. This is my story and how it began. When cancer came in and changed my days, changed my thoughts, changed my ways. Hi everybody, my name is Tammy. And like so many of you around the world, I too am a cancer survivor. I wrote the ABCs of surviving cancer, alive, beautiful, and courageous, for people of all ages. My book is fun, informative, and most of all, heartfelt. It's a way to give confidence to young people, as well as families and friends, to educate those who know a young person facing the challenge of cancer, and to bring everybody together with empathy and understanding. This book is beautifully illustrated. The ABCs of Surviving Cancer guides us through the alphabet with a 16-line poem for every letter. Some of the topics include C is for courageous, H for hope, J for joy, O for own it, P for patience, T for truth, V for victory, and Y for you. Join me in this journey of reassurance and understanding, and share it with the people you love. The ABCs of Surviving Cancer is available in hardcover, softcover, and popular ebook editions such as iBook, Kindle, and Nook. Order yours through every major bookseller worldwide or through my website, TammyTrober.com. The ABCs of Surviving Cancer is proudly published by the Fresh Ink Group.
Yeah, so as you heard on the commercial there, TammyTrover.com, there's a little bit of an issue with her website. We just discovered that just before the start of the show. So Stephen and I will have to get in there and kind of poke around and maybe call the webmaster guy and see what's going on with that. But you can always go to FreshInkGroup.com, and Tammy's got a page over there as well. So
definitely. Now, Tammy, you
know
something.
Hearing that, I realized that it brought up a good point. The book was illustrated by my mom, and my grandmother named Cornelius, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks before she passed away.
Oh, wow.
So it was a family affair. Yes. She
cool.
had dreams about him dancing in the book. So, yeah, it was something we did, definitely did. Family affair.
Now, the one thing that you did here differently than I've seen any other Fresh Ink Group author do is you got sponsors. We were putting together ads for you to put in the back of the book. Can you talk about that a little bit? How did that come about? Where'd you get the idea? How did you get that done?
Yes, I actually had a lot of support when I came very close to passing away. Some of the support came from, like, my gastroenterologist, people that one of the people that are one of the sponsors is actually a lady that had, I believe she had brain and lung cancer, and she is still here. She's still fighting. And I had sat down in an auto dealership and realized when she walked in, I knew right away she had cancer. I knew, you have that ability to know when you've had cancer a lot of times, even when the person doesn't say anything. And I had just the ABCs right there on my laptop, and I asked her if I could read it to her. And she cried, and she said, if you will allow me to buy this book when it comes out, I'll never stop fighting. And she hasn't stopped fighting. She's still here today, and she's doing great. So, you know, you touch people in many ways that you don't realize. You know, I was out one day and I had a book in my bag, one of my books in my bag, and there was an older woman, an older man, And for some reason, I just knew. I handed him a book, and I said, I hope this, you know, helps you keep fighting. And it was in a store. And about 10 minutes later, this young lady comes, and she finds me in the store, and she has tears rolling down her face. And I said, I'm sorry, what's wrong? You know, can I help you? And she said, how did you know? And I said, how did I know what? I had no idea what she was talking about. And she said, how did you know it was my dad that was fighting cancer and not my mother? I said, I really didn't know. I just had that feeling. And she said, the book you just handed him touched him so much. He's been fighting cancer. I think she said about a year and a half. So, you know, it's nice when your book can touch people of all ages, you know, and it inspires them. A lot of women tend to cry. You have to give them tissues, but it's good tears. It's really good tears. My sponsors, the sponsors that are in the back of the book are so, so very important. One of them was my gastroenterologist I've had for 15 years, and I ended up getting sponsors because at that time with going through all the surgeries I've been through, you know, and all the bills piling up, I just couldn't imagine, you know, being able to make this dream come true without a little bit of help doing it and a little bit of support behind me. And these people just, they were happy and willing to support me in my journey. So it was really good. Talking to Fresh Ink Group, you know, I said, this is what I'd like to do, and I'd like to get sponsors. And they were amazing at helping me figure out how that's done. I've never had to do that before. But these businesses and these private people that donated to make this dream come true, they are beyond amazing. So, yes, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, and, you know, as you said, you know, it's touching people of all ages. It's you know, it's kind of a children's book, but adults can read it too and get uplifted, and then the adults can turn around and read it to their kids. And I mean, it's just one of those transgenerational books. Now I see over here on Twitter we've got Tupperware Jackie saying, "Hey Tammy, wish you were still in Denver."
I spent 30 years in Denver.
And Ver Wayne has clocked out. He said he's exhausted, and I don't blame him. So get some rest, Ver Wayne, and check out over on the at Voice of Indie Twitter page, and you will see Ver Wayne's book, Finding Myself Again. Give him a little bit of a plug there. So.
And Tupperware Jackie is recovering from surgery too, so we'll send her our best and hope for a speedy recovery.
Definitely.
So, Tammy, where do you write?
Well, a lot of times I write just in my home, but sometimes it's when I am driving down the road. I'll be honest, some of the best places you can write and think are when there's nobody else around and, you know, and when you're not trying to write. When it just comes, I think some of the best things that I've written are when I don't have to think about it. It just, you know, it just comes and you let it come. So, you know, a lot of times it's just when I'm driving down the road or sitting by a beach or walking down the beach or, you know, hiking up in the mountains, doing something that, you know, you're relaxed.
So, Those are some, I guess, time frames that maybe it's not all the time, unless you're out there driving or walking around all the time. Do you set aside times during the day, or do you just wait until it's there and you want to sit down and write?
You know, I haven't in the past, but that is a goal for the future. Again, working so much, I haven't set that time aside for me. To do things for me. And I think it's really important to remind people to do that. Just set aside. I think I think that you all have told me several times that if you just set aside 30 minutes of you time and you just write, I believe that is when those inspirational things come to you, is, you know, just relaxing. Take 30 minutes. It's not a whole lot of time every day. I am a workaholic, and it's hard for me to do that, but that is definitely a goal for this next year, to go ahead and start doing that.
Do you have the book handy right now, Tammy?
I do have a book handy.
Do you mind running through and telling us what the words are for each of the letters? I thought that was interesting.
Sure.
You made some really interesting choices there. And the words that you chose for each letter kind of tell a little bit of a story themselves, too.
Now, before she starts that, there's a quick little comment from Robert Williscroft over on Twitter. He said, laws say you can't type while driving, but longhand apparently is okay.
Or you can speak, speak into a recorder.
Yeah.
That's what I do. Yes, I turn on that recorder, and on your phone has a recorder, and I turn it on and just talk. And sometimes it comes out garbled, like you have to correct the words, but I always know, I can recall what I meant to say, as long as I have that little, you know, spark of what I was trying to say.
Yeah,
so,
the prompt.
Yeah. Yes, that prompt. So I do have the book in front of me. A is for alive. So A, B, and C are part of the title, Alive, Beautiful, and Courageous. And I think that all cancer survivors can relate to those three words. If you are fighting cancer, you are alive and you are beautiful. Just people forget to remind themselves, because they might have lost their hair, or their skin may be gray, or they may not be able to lift their head off the pillow. But that doesn't mean they're not alive, beautiful, and courageous. I have seen some amazing things in my journey. So A is for alive, B is for beautiful, C is for courageous, D is for dream. I think we all need to dream no matter what we're going through. E is for energy. And that's what gets us through, right?
Mm-hmm.
F is for fight.
Yeah.
We all have to fight through it. Doesn't matter which disease it is. G is for giggle. I think laughing is extremely, extremely important.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, in anything you're doing, anything you're fighting. You know, and I write about it, healing bad days, and, you know, sometimes it just slips out that you just, you know, I'm 51 years old now, and sometimes when people hear me just out of the blue start to laugh, they just look at me like, "Woo, you're going through a lot, and you still got a smile on your face," but you just have to, you know. H is for hope, something we all need. I for inspiration. I think that's a really important one. There are so many people that have inspired me over the 15 years, not just, you know, not just through cancer, but you'd be surprised the things that people go through. If you think you've been through it all, and then you hear stories about what people have gone through, it humbles you. It really humbles you. It inspires you to keep pushing, keep pushing.
And this book is part of that inspiration, too.
Yes, yes. J is for joy. And I believe that three-letter word says it all. I mean, it's
yeah.
So small and sweet, like I say, but it's something, you know, that joy, you know, children especially, joy, they bring joy to our life. To see a sick child is devastating. You just want to take that pain away and go through it yourself instead of them. And sometimes we can't. And, you know, they bring joy to our life, whether they're sick or they're healthy. I think that's really important to remember, too, when we see a sick child, that it's really funny because children are so resilient. And even when they're ill, when they have those moments when they're feeling better, and you see that little spark of their personality, it's such a joy. It really is. K is for kindness. I think that it only takes a moment, only a moment to help somebody. And it says in the book, you know, it's like helping somebody cross the street or, you know, I'm just doing something. It doesn't have to be a lot that shows them and touches their life. It only takes a minute to be nice.
Sometimes it's as simple as listening.
Exactly. Just listening to somebody when they're going through something. L is for love. And, you know, it's really important that people know that there's somebody out there that loves and cares about them, even when they're going through something so tough, you know. And it doesn't have to be a family member. It could be a friend of 30 years. Who would have thought you'd reconnect with friends that you had back in high school? M is for memory. A lot of our cancer survivors will tell you a lot of what happened before chemo, we call it ACBC, after chemo, before chemo in my life. So everything before chemo usually has to be triggered by something, smells, something you might say, something I might see, a picture. They kept saying, your memory come back, your memory come back, your memory come back. And about a year after my cancer and my chemo, they started saying your memory's not coming back. So a lot of stuff before chemo have to be triggered. So memories are very important to me because when they're triggered, it's usually something funny or something really good. You know, not always, but there a lot of times those memories are very you know, they're important because you might not have them all for never. You know, I'm never giving up. And I think that I did that word because that is the truth. There's never a time I won't laugh or have fun. There's just not. And there's never a time I'll give up. I'll always fight. So even in my last moments, I'll fight. I'll fight for my children. I'll fight for my grandchildren. I'll beat this. And if I don't beat this, you'll know. You'll know I still fought. So I think it was really important to put that word in the book because people need to know that, you know, I'm going to fight, but if I don't win, you know, we don't always win. We don't always win, but that doesn't mean we stop fighting. And that's N. O is for optimistic. Optimism is very important when you're fighting cancer.
And not
always
easy.
No matter
easy.
What you do, it's not always easy. And when, you know, when I'm so sick, I couldn't lift my head off the pillow. It was hard. It was really hard. But being positive and staying positive, you know, everybody can see what you're going through. You don't have to be negative about it because they can see it. And whether I'm, you know, happy or sad, you know, I can make you as miserable as I am. But if I'm optimistic and if I keep fighting and I keep challenging myself, you know, I have a bucket list and there's only one thing left on it I haven't done. And I will do that thing and make a new bucket list. So I'm optimistic about the future. P is for patience, sometimes not my best or easiest quality. I will admit that, but it is important when you're going through cancer and all the testing. They make you wait, and that's the hardest part about the whole thing. You know, the patience you have to have in seeing baby steps, not huge steps, sometimes is very, very difficult. Q is for quiet. Sometimes we just need a little time. When we're quiet or when we sit quietly and read a book or stay calm, sometimes we're going through treatment and we have to just sit there and take it. And it's hard. It's really hard. But sometimes we just need the quiet to let ourselves think and let ourselves stay calm and rested. And quiet is a very good thing.
Yes, it is. I endorse quiet.
I do too. R is remember.
Yeah, remember.
Remember. You know, there's things you'll never forget, even if you lose your memory, things like your first day of school or And it might be something you're going through while you had cancer, somebody coming by with, you know, I particularly had people I never did find out who it was, that they would send me a card and just little gifts inside the card. It might be just a little card that, you know, inspired me to keep pushing. And it was signed Angel 777. And I think I got a card at least once a month while I was going through chemo.
Hmm.
I remember that to this day, how much it meant for me and how it helped me push through, you know, remembering the three ladies that they were Catholic, and they would come. They brought me a statue, a Catholic statue. It was, I think it's St. Peter's is who it is. I still have it. I'm not Catholic, so I apologize if I said the wrong saint, but it's a saint of healing. And they brought me this statue, and they would go with me every single time I went to chemo, and they would sit with me. I remember the first time I went in, I was only 34, and colon is a cancer of people that are older, so a lot of times they're usually over 60. And when I walked in, it was all older people. I mean, all of them in the chemo room. And I remember this this very nice older lady. I walked in and I turned around, I walked back out, and I told my husband, I don't belong here. And she actually came out and got me. She said, honey, you do belong here. Let's go in and get you treatment. And she sat with me. Now, these three Catholic ladies, they took me to chemo every week. And I remember, I'm not sure I'd have made it through every day that I got chemo had they not done that. But they'd take me and they'd sit with me, and then they'd bring me home. And I didn't know these ladies. There was just somebody, you know, somebody out of the goodness of their heart that knew that I was going through what I was going through and took the time to make a difference in my life.
Wow.
As for strength.
Yeah.
You know, it's your strength that people see. When you get knocked down, you get back up, and cancer definitely knocks you down. So, you know, I thought it was important to add strength into the book and remind you, you are strong. You have the ability and the strength to fight this thing. And you, like we were talking about, you know, we pray we can get through it, and you know, you find the strength within yourself. And that's the point of the whole book, is that every single one of these words are to inspire you to have the strength and the courage to move forward and do what you have to do. Because we, as cancer patients, I think I once had a doctor tell me that I've been through more physical pain than most 90-year-olds. And the ability to take that pain, have the strength to keep moving forward, is amazing. I just took it day by day, to be honest with you, day by day. And that comes in the next letter, truth. You know, people fear what they don't understand. And if you tell them the truth about what you're going through, most people are very, very understanding. It takes a lot of courage to tell your story. Sometimes, especially, you know, on the different things that we might go through in life, to tell your story and let it touch other people's hearts. But if you help them understand what you're going through, sometimes it helps them get through it. I saw some kind of statistic, I believe it said about one in every three people are touched by cancer. That doesn't mean they have cancer. That just means they're touched by it in some way. And that's a scary statistic. You know, that means that, you know, somebody you know, or in your family, or, you know, you might know as through someone else, is going to be touched by cancer. So we all need to unite in this battle. U is for unique. A lot of it's, and it's very funny in the book. It shows a little kid and Cornelius, and they have all kinds of different balloons. But we are all unique in our own way. And I think that we all bring something different to the table. So what you're good at, I'm not. and what the next person is good at, I might not be. But something I'm good at, you might not be good at. So if we can all work together and care about each other and bring what we have to the table in a positive manner, I think a lot of times it helps us get through what we're going through. We're all unique.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I just kind of want to interject here. You're talking about we're all unique. Some of us can do some things that others can't. Reminds me of a story I heard. Pat Benatar, the singer,
I love her.
Pushing 70 if she's not there already. And as she gets up there in age, every year she goes and has a nose throat doctor scope out her throat just to make sure everything's in working order. And she tells the story about how the first time this guy dropped the scope down there, looked at him, and he says, "There is the mystery of God. Your vocal cords are identical to mine, but I can't do what you do with them." And that's she doesn't have any special vocal cords that, you know, she just knows how to use them the way other people don't. She's got that gift. So, you know, just what you're saying about each of us have something different. She's not a doctor. She can't do what this doctor's doing. So everybody has their own little thing.
Exactly. And I tell you what, in the job I do at the VA, I see that all the time. If others were not good in different ways at different things, I couldn't do the job I do. So, you know, I utilize other people's gifts to help me be successful in what I do. There are so many amazing people around me that inspire me. You all inspire me in just what you do. Some of the things I know I've talked to you all about is being better at Twitter. I am, you know, I need to be better at Twitter, and that is something that is a challenge for me. Other people are amazing at it. I watch, and they're just amazing at it. It's great, you know. We all have our uniqueness. I don't even know if that's a word. But we're all unique in different ways, you know. So V is for victory. When you succeed at the end of the day, and it's small baby steps. When you're going through cancer, things are not always as fast as we'd like, as, you know, it's small steps. The small steps are what count. And eventually you'll get there. It seems like it takes years. There are some things that I still... After the chemo, they say you'll always feel tired in the afternoon. You know, you'll always do this. But I'm still here. You know, I still have the ability to touch people's lives every day. You know, I like to go Uber because I like to talk to people. You always find common ground with somebody that gets in your car. People get in my car for a reason. And it's not the reason that you would think. It's not getting from point A to point B. It's usually, you know, something deeper, which sounds very strange to a lot of people. Are there people that just go from point A to point B? Yes. But there are people that have gotten in my car that are going through horrific things. And it's amazing that they just seem to sit in my car and open up and we talk, and, you know, I've had people order my book right in my front seat. They're sitting in the passenger seat, and we're talking about they're going through cancer, or they have a family member going through cancer, or they're going through some other type of, you know, disease. This book doesn't just inspire people with cancer. It's inspired people with other diseases. You know, at the back of the book, I can remember a few times they're like, well, just tell me one passage from the book. And I always revert to the last page. And I say, so if you have cancer and are fighting the fight, pull strength from within and turn darkness to light. Never give up and never give in, because beauty and courage come from within. Everybody can hear that. Everybody needs to hear that they're beautiful and they're courageous and they can make it through one step at a time. That's all it takes. So
yeah.
That brings us to W. W
and what
is for
W?
Wow.
Mm.
Wow, we made it. We're at the top of the Ferris wheel. And we actually went on a Ferris wheel this weekend, one right there in Seattle. And the view from the top of that Ferris wheel is unbelievable. Wow, you made it. You actually survived. You're a survivor. When it got to X, Y, and Z, it was a little more difficult for me. I think that the challenge you gave me to go through Z, I was like, okay, what do I do when I get to those letters? And then, you know, it took a lot of thought. I thought there's so many ways X is used. I mean, X marks the spot on a map, you know. It's what gets to the treasure, you know. That X is where that spot is marked on the map. So, you know, X is what you hit when you want to get out of things on the computer. X is used in so many different ways. So I didn't really use this one as more of a word, but more, let's say, exit out. You X'd out cancer. You know, it was that fight. That fight that you went through, you know, I say I'll stay healthy and strong and give it my best. And, you know, when you get through cancer, you have totally X'd it out, seriously. I don't even know how else to express it to you, but encourage you to read the book because it's just X. We also talk about X factor, which is very funny. I talk about that in my book. X factor, the X factor, which is surprising in a kid's book, but they would get it the way it's explained. Y is for you. U is a word for why. It's the next letter in line. It's by far the most important you'll see in good time. You, a lot of people don't take time for themselves, and they can't see the beauty they have within themselves. It takes them somebody to remind them, you know, whether it be from obesity or a disease or, you know, they're hard on themselves, they're critical of themselves, and sometimes that keeps them from themselves from moving forward. They're their own worst enemy. So if we can just remind each other that they are, you are beautiful, courageous, and alive. You know how to fight. You know how to survive. You know how to do all that stuff. If we can just remind each other. And the book, that's exactly what it's for, is to remind you that, you know, you are those things and you can fight. You can fight whatever you're going through. So, and the last one is Z. Z is Brazilian. It's the last letter. And there are a zillion reasons I never give up. And that's what I say in the book, a zillion reasons I never gave up or gave in, a zillion ways I was going to win. There are so many reasons why I couldn't lose this fight. Being my family, my friends, everybody that supported me through this fight, my sponsors, people that encouraged me, people that I saw going through the same thing, you know, and people that I could inspire through my story, through my book, you know, telling them what I went through. And I think that's the biggest thing. If we can be there for each other and just remind each other in our worst days that, guess what, tomorrow's a new day. Tomorrow's a new day. Keep fighting, you know, keep smiling. That's one of the biggest things that people ask me. Is how do you do it? Well, how don't you do it? You know, you have a choice. You know, and whether I'm miserable or not, my choice to make you miserable along with me is my choice. So I choose to be optimistic. So, yeah, this book has meant the world to me, and I know that it has inspired and touched a lot of people, and I hope that in the future it inspires and touches many more. And not just cancer patients, not just children with cancer, but families and friends and people going through different things. It could be something like, you know, PTSD. We have, you know, we have a lot of people that suffer from PTSD. It could be depression. You know, it could be an eating disorder. So, yeah. And that's my book.
Tammy at Fresh Ink Group, we're very proud of the book. We're very proud of you and what you've accomplished and what you keep accomplishing with it. And we're definitely looking forward to seeing more topics, more books, and more appearances by you as you reach out and touch the community out there who's learning to deal with cancer or knows people who are as well. So, again, that's The ABCs of Surviving Cancer by Tammy Trover. Everybody get out there and get them. Now, Tammy, how do people find you out there on social media? You got handles, a way to contact you?
Yes, I have my website, which we're going to work on after this show. They can actually blog. Am I saying it correctly? I'm sorry. You know me. I'm really bad at this wording. But blog. They can blog. They can email me. They can go on Twitter.
And your Twitter? What's your Twitter handle?
Oh,
your
my.
Twitter handle?
I knew you'd ask me that. Let me look.
Tammy Trover 1, I think.
Yes, it is. Tammy Trover 1.
Yeah, TammyTrover 1.
And you can also find Tammy on freshinkgroup.com. Go under the members tab and just scroll down to the T's. Tammy Trover, and she's right there.
Yes.
So,
I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show, Tammy. This has been a lot of fun. And thank you to all of you who participated out there in Twitter as well. As we wrap up here, we do want to give a shout-out to Fresh Ink Group member Helen Burrell, Dr. Helen Burrell. She lost her ex-husband a couple of days ago, and it's kind of a tough time for her family. And our thoughts are with you, you and your family, and we wish you all the best.
Yes, definitely. Dr. Helen, you're in my prayers, so remember that. Thank you to everybody that participated tonight. And if you happen to have a manuscript of your own and you're looking for a way to publish it, Fresh Ink Group, check this out.
Got a manuscript you want the pros to see? FreshInkGroup.com's homepage has a free evaluation button. Share your best work with the members at Fresh Ink Group.
There you go.
There you go. Next week, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Next week, we're traveling. Both of us are going to be on the road together, actually, even though we live 1,000 miles apart. So the show will be a pre-canned thing where we're going to replay some of the segments from episode 26 where we interviewed each other. So if you want to learn more about your co-hosts, Beam Weeks and Stephen G's, that'll be next week's show. So, of course, we will not be taking calls or monitoring Twitter during the show since it is a rerun.
Yeah, and the week after that, we have author Patty Wiseman. She's coming in. And the week following that, on the 29th, author Marlena Smith is going to make a return visit. She's got a new book out, so we're going to have her on and give her some publicity. And sometime after that, we will also have Fresh Ink's own J.L. Ejluni. Now, Ejluni's been – he's a longtime Fresh Inker, but – we haven't had him on the show yet, so it's about time we drag him in front of a microphone.
And he can talk about Whoopi liking her bacon crispy.
Liking her bacon.
Okay, we've also got plans for Patricia A. Guthrie, whose Legacy of Danger cover you saw in today's newsletter, and Abigail Hugini, who's put together There Must Be Something in the Water. So we got some great guests coming up, and we got a couple of more besides those lined up after that. It's been fun. We appreciate you coming again, Tammy.
Thanks, Tammy.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care, and we'll see everybody in 2 weeks, although we sure hope you come back next week for that classic.
You've been a part of Voice of Indy, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at freshinkgroup.com and be sure to hashtag #FreshInkGroup.